On the campaign trail this week, even Donald Trump and Ted Cruz, two Republican presidential candidates who have so far held their fire against each other, began to take aim at each other. And of course, that could be because the Iowa caucuses are just 23 days away.
Here and now,
2016.
See, now that it actually is 2016, that jingle could really mean anything, but it does mean that it's time for our weekly look at 2016 politics. This week with Paul Steinhauser, political director of NH1 in New Hampshire. Hi, Paul.
Great to be with you guys again.
And Asma Khalid is back with us. She's a campaign reporter for NPR. Asma, welcome to you.
Thanks so much.
And Paul, let me start with you. One strategist told the New York Times this week that the campaign is now like the end of a Quentin Tarantino movie where everyone starts shooting at each other. Is that your sense?
And I love Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah.
That's a really good description because it is getting ugly. And you mentioned it, even between candidates who were pretty chummy up until just a few weeks ago, like Donald Trump and Ted Cruz, because this is it. It's crunch time now. It's the fourth quarter, I guess you could say, 32 days up here in New Hampshire until our primary. So now is when people are tuned in, and now is when the candidates get ugly.
And one of the big controversies this week has involved the birthplace of Ted Cruz. He was born in Canada to American parents. Donald Trump raised those issues. Here is what Trump told you, Paul.
I don't know what it all means. I know that other people are talking about it. The problem is that if the Democrats bring a lawsuit, the lawsuit could take years to resolve. And how do you have a candidate where there's something, you know, over the head of the party and that individual?
Paul, is this going to be a problem for Ted Cruz in New Hampshire, in Iowa even?
Well, Iowa's really why I think Donald Trump did what he did here, because Ted Cruz now is tied with Donald Trump in the polls in Iowa. And Ted Cruz is now a threat to Donald Trump in many ways. So there you go. You see Trump doing what he does best, kind of stirring the pot in that exclusive interview with us that went viral because he was raising these concerns. We've been there. We've done that on Ted Cruz and whether he was born in Canada. And most people think it's not a problem at all because he's born to an American mother. So Donald Trump doesn't care, brings up the old news, and it becomes headlines all over again. And Donald Trump, he knows what he's doing.
Asma, there was another fight going on this week between Marco Rubio and Chris Christie. Rubio began airing ads criticizing Christie in response to Chris Christie saying that Rubio couldn't, quote, slime his way to the White House, and told host Laura Ingraham, radio host, conservative talk radio host Laura Ingraham, that Hillary Clinton would eat Marco Rubio alive in the general election. Let's listen.
You want someone on that stage against Hillary Clinton who has been through the wars, not somebody who's a first-term United States senator who has never had a tough race in his life.
What?
This guy has been spoon-fed every victory he's ever had in his life. Is that the kind of person that we want to put on the stage against Hillary Clinton? I don't think so. She'll pat him on the head and then cut his heart out.
Okay, and then on Fox and Friends this morning on Fox News, Marco Rubio pushed back.
I just honestly don't believe that the next president of the United States and the Republican nominee should be someone like Chris Christie, who supports Common Core, who has personally donated Planned Parenthood, who got into politics to begin with in order to pass gun control, who has seen his state downgraded 6-7 times since he took over as governor in their credit rating.
So, Asma, your thoughts on this battle, which looks like it's a battle really for second place in New Hampshire behind Donald Trump.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. I think that this is precisely a battle for second place. What we see are these sort of skirmishes between many of these candidates who are traditionally establishment candidates. In a traditional election, maybe you would think that one would sort of be the clear winner in New Hampshire. But I think what we're seeing is because there's so many of them, they're all trying to find that niche. And so it is a battle for second. You could argue it's even a battle for third place, not only in New Hampshire, but I would argue also in Iowa. And that's where we see both Chris Christie sort of trying to build up his ground game. We've heard more efforts of him trying to sort of figure out his way into Iowa and see if he can establish a ground game that would even just let him do better than expected in Iowa.
Well, Asma, what are your sources telling you, or what are people thinking about how many tickets out of New Hampshire there will be? Because it's not just Christie and Rubio, but also Bush and Kasich.
That's right. I mean, I think it is that the fight, I guess, is among all of those establishment candidates. But I think that, you know, when you mention former Florida Governor Jeb Bush, I think that overall, I mean, his polling has been very weak for weeks on end at this point. And I think that if he does not do, say, in the top three, maybe you could argue four in New Hampshire, I think that he will struggle as the campaign goes on.
All right. And what do you think about that, Paul?
Yeah, here's the thing about Bush. He's said pretty much he has to win New Hampshire or have a very, very strong second place finish. He needs it. He's placing most of his chips here rather than in Iowa or South Carolina. He's got a lot of money. His super PAC that's supporting him has a lot of money. But still, at the end of the day, you need some results in the primaries. The Rubio stuff is interesting. I just spoke to Rubio just a few minutes ago, interviewed him right here in Concord, New Hampshire. He did the same thing. He went back. He pushed back against Christie, but it was not about personality or anything. It was about policy. So when Rubio defends himself and attacks, it's all about policy.
Very strange sight last night for this point in the campaign. Donald Trump in Bernie Sanders' home state of Vermont for a rally. And here he is a little bit. He was pledging to go farther than many of his Republican rivals on guns.
I will get rid of gun-free zones on schools, and you have to. And on military bases, my first day it gets signed, okay? My first day.
Asma, why would Donald Trump be in Vermont, which is not one of the first states to vote?
I mean, I think that we could argue sort of this is Donald Trump trying just to sort of spread both his message. I think also he sort of chimed in at that place in Vermont and made a couple of attacks against Bernie Sanders and how he would fare in a general election against Bernie Sanders. But and we've heard a
but
lot
isn't
about
it a waste
this
of time to go to a state like Vermont at this point in the campaign?
I think for yes, I mean, you could certainly argue that. But on the flip side, almost anywhere that Donald Trump goes, Donald Trump gets massive media attention. And that was certainly true of where he was in Vermont yesterday. He was able to not only bring out sort of attention, you could say, from those folks near, you know, the New Hampshire-Vermont border, but loads of national press were there. Not only, you know, he was able to sort of make this almost like a coveted event. We heard reports from Vermont Public Radio that there were thousands and thousands of tickets issued. The venue held less than 2,000 people. And so by turning away people at this event, it presented the event as even sort of a more lucrative club to be a part of. And I think, you know, he was able to bring national media attention to wherever he is. And that was certainly true of where he was last night in Vermont.
But what's also interesting, too, on that, remember, Vermont is a Super Tuesday state. He's been hitting all the Super Tuesday states, not just the early states like where I am. So yeah, there was a reason. And he wanted to go to hometown of Bernie Sanders. And you played that clip about gun control. As Donald Trump was in Vermont last night talking about gun control and railing against it, you had President Obama on a town hall that was televised live on CNN touting his proposals, his executive actions from this week. So it was an interesting dynamic.
Well, let's talk about the Democrats briefly here, because Bernie Sanders has come within 10 points of Hillary Clinton in Iowa. He's already leading in New Hampshire. He announced this week that he raised $33 million in the last 3 months of 2015, more than Hillary Clinton, and also more than any other Republican who's announced fundraising totals. Where does the race stand on the Democratic side? Is it a real contest right now, Paul, do you think?
Yeah, here in New Hampshire, it is definitely a real contest, no doubt about it. Bernie Sanders is a slight favorite if you average all the polls together. He's got a very strong organization here. Yeah, part of it's geography, but part of it is he has excited the base, the liberal base of the party. Those people who wanted Elizabeth Warren to run for president, well, most of them, they've come Bernie Sanders' way, and that is why, at least here in New Hampshire, and he's holding his own in Iowa, he's down, but not by much more than 10 points. Hillary Clinton has a fight on her hands, no doubt about it.
And she has dispatched her husband. I want to listen to a little bit of him. Bill Clinton returning to the campaign trail for his wife. He avoided any direct reference to Donald Trump, who has called him one of the great abusers of women. But here's Clinton at his first event in New Hampshire on Monday, giving a history lesson about, in his words, what makes a president great.
I spent a lot of time thinking about this. I do not believe in my lifetime anybody has run for this job at a moment of great importance who was better qualified by knowledge, experience, and temperament to do what needs to be done now to restore prosperity.
Asma, I want to get your thoughts on the race on the Democratic side and also how the campaign, the Clinton campaign, is using Bill Clinton differently this time than they did last time.
I mean, I wanted to add one thing about the Bernie Sanders, Hillary Clinton dynamic there. I would say, you know, certainly very competitive in New Hampshire. You could argue increasingly competitive in Iowa. But nationally, I really don't think it's much of a contest. I mean, I was on a couple of calls with the Bernie Sanders campaign this week. They are really trying to position their strategy both in Nevada and in South Carolina. But these are two states where we have large minority populations and minority populations that tend to vote and tend to support Hillary Clinton, it seems at this point. And so I think they are facing huge uphill battles once you get beyond New Hampshire at this point. I wanted to throw that in there. I think, you know, certainly competitive in maybe Iowa and New Hampshire. But once you get beyond that, I think that this is really Hillary Clinton's sort of contest to lose, you could say.
The thing about Bill Clinton, though, and I saw him in person in New Hampshire the other day. It's interesting. Yeah, he's getting older, and you can tell that. It's pretty obvious. Not as energetic as he used to be. But he's really embracing this supporting role. He's not the star anymore. He knows it. He's there to tout his wife, and he didn't take the bait on Donald Trump. Not once. Me and a bunch of other reporters along the rope line yelling out, "Mr. Clinton, what about Donald Trump? What do you have to—" Wouldn't touch it. Wouldn't bring up the name. He's coming back here again next week. He was in Iowa. He's going to stay to script, we think.
Well, and it's going to be a very interesting week next week because we've got two debates next week, Republicans on Thursday, then the Democrats on Sunday. And, of course, South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley is going to be giving the Republican response to the State of the Union address. She's somebody that's been talked about as a possible VP candidate for whoever wins the Republican nomination. We'll be watching. We'll be talking about it. Paul Steinhauser, political director at NH1 in New Hampshire, and Asma Khalid, campaign reporter for NPR. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Happy to be here.